We begin our service in the name of God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. From our hearts to yours, we thank you for joining us in this virtual worship service of the Church of Conscious Harmony in the Cloud. And it's really good to see each of you, and I thank you. We thank you for your presence and valuation to be here this morning with us. I acknowledge there's a lot going on. I acknowledge there's a lot occurring in our country, in our world. We are aware, and our hearts are open and broken. And let us join together in a wish to be a grounding force of love, that through this service, consciousness and love would be birthed through our attention and intentions, and that the peace of Christ would flow through us into our community and world, bringing oneness and love in a deeper way. Just a couple announcements for our attention. Yesterday, the board of directors met, and look for an update email this week, and that will have further details about our ongoing programming. In short, we're going to be taking it on a month-by-month basis. So for the foreseeable future, we will continue with Zoom-only service for Sunday morning. There will be new offerings available, and I encourage you to look for that email this week. But I want to just announce that Scriptorium will be resuming this coming Saturday at 11. And Scriptorium is an opportunity to study the Scripture through a contemplative inner lens of the work, especially. And we look at the Scriptures for that Sunday, but also the upcoming Sunday, but also other Scriptures. And you can join in that Scriptorium gathering 11 o'clock on Saturday. That's 11 Central Time. And you can go to the church website and click on the online services and classes link and see the Saturday Scriptorium door there that you can click on and go and participate. Also, we'll be offering the opportunity to come to the campus. The campus is open during business hours for you to come to the sanctuary to pray, to come to Theosis Chapel to pray, to be on the church grounds to receive the energy and the love of God that is here. And we want you to know that the church campus, including the bookstore and office, is open for you to participate in. If you do come to the church campus and, for example, use the Theosis Chapel or come into the sanctuary to pray, would you please stop by the office or send Donald an email and let us know that you've been here or where you've been, so then we can clean the space accordingly. We don't want people just coming and going without us knowing, so please let us know so we can be good stewards and clean the building. That's all the announcements I have, and today is Pentecost Sunday, such a sacred moment in our journey from Easter to Pentecost, and today we're going to hear more about what the Holy Spirit means for us in our world today. But it is one of those special days in the life of the church, and I just want to remember this, that today would be the day we would be celebrating our baptism friends who are being baptized, and later this afternoon we would go to Don and Deborah's property and have the full immersion baptism in their river. So I wish for that to occur in the future and look forward to gathering with all those who are being baptized this year. And we can thank Mary Ann for leading that class, the baptism class. It's such a faithful offering to our community. So let us give thanks to the Spirit of God who is holding us close even though we are not physically together. And we give thanks for this moment of worship. Amen.
As we bring fire to this candle wick, making it glow with light, may we also bring the fire of love to this time of prayer and worship.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please join us in invoking the Holy Spirit with our song and our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, she's going to...
Oh,
Let's visualize our brothers and sisters as we sing together. The gospel in one word is love.
Good morning. Let's join me in the invocation. We remember God, and God is in our hearts. And if you will be my echo, Lord, come to my assistance.
Lord, come to my assistance.
Make haste to help me.
Make haste to help.
Amen. Peter mentioned the baptism, and we would like to invite the 9 to 19-year-olds that wish to go through the baptism initiation and their first Holy Communion to notify the church office. We're going to have some Saturday morning Zoom classes to prepare for that. So if you're interested, let the church office know, and they will let me know. Look, Red. You're back, and it looks like someone knew you were coming and got ready with your favorite color.
Yes, everything's red. That is my favorite color. Do you think the church lady did this for me?
Well, I could pull your leg and tell you she did, but actually, this is the day of Pentecost. It's one of the high holy days in the church, in the circle of the church year.
Oh, I think I remember hearing about the Pentecost. That's when the disciples got too close to the Holy Spirit and it set their hair on fire, right?
Well, that's not exactly the story we tell in Godly Play, but I'm real glad you're here because we get to find out how your practice went. Were you able to do your meditation?
Well, yes, it was pretty hard at first. But I kept my promise, and after the first 3 days, it got a little easier.
Well, who did you make a promise to, Red?
Oh, I made a promise to myself. You know, I don't like to break promises, so I always promise myself I will remember something if I really need to remember it. And I did. I sat down, and I said my password, and I rested with God. And I built stamina by adding an extra minute every day.
Wow, Red, that's just incredible. And because you kept your practice, you get to enter the next round of the True Self game. And today, a bonus. We have a bonus round for you.
Really?
Yes. You see this box right here? This contains the deluxe edition of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you get enough points in this round, that's what you're going to win.
Wow, that sounds good. Okay, this is great. I'm ready.
All right, the first card just popped up. All right, your true self wants to know,
What is your highest truth?
Can I call a friend?
Sure, you can call a friend.
Okay. Lord, come to my assistance. Make haste to help me. Oh, I know what my highest truth is. I am a manifestation of God's awesomeness.
Ding, ding, ding. Did you hear that? You just won the true self game. Not just the bonus round, but the whole game.
I did? That's amazing.
Your affirmation calibrates so high on the map of mindfulness that you won the game and the bonus round. Can you tell us that affirmation one more time?
I am a manifestation of God's awesomeness.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Whoop, look, a pop-up card. It's from your true self.
Can you read it to me? I somehow still can't see these cards popping up.
Well, I can read it to you. It says that you can upgrade that affirmation to a mantra if you want to.
Oh, great. What's a mantra?
Well, it's another name for a prayer sentence. And it's something you can repeat whenever and wherever. If you're taking goodies to Granny, or walking through the forest, or washing dishes, or baking cookies, or getting ready to talk to hundreds of people on Zoom. Like now.
Like now? What do you mean?
Well, I think I mentioned last week that we have a Zoom audience. It's just about 300 people. They're real good people from Conscious Harmony. They have a basic core of goodness, and they're also working with Consciously Chosen Love over the live separation and the useless acting of fear, you know.
Oh, fear. Yeah, that keeps coming up a lot for me. You know, it seems like I might need a bonus round to get more tools.
Well, let's see about that. What tools have you been using, other than your meditation practice?
Well, I listened to some reruns of the Church Lady Show on YouTube, and so I started a gratitude journal. And, of course, I've been doing affirmations. I made 3 batches of magic wishing soup. And I also have been doing some surrendering. Well, a lot of surrendering, actually. And I got a worry sock. I write down my worries, and I put them in this stinky old sock. And that's my worry eater. I didn't have one of those fancy pirate things with the zipper mouths. But this is working pretty good. And, well, you know, talking about all these practices makes me feel different. Do you know what I mean?
Well, sure, honey. We call that the getting close to God vibe. It's pretty groovy, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. But, Tammy Sue, I don't mean to be rude or anything, but you did say I won the game, right?
That's right, sugar, you did.
Well, is there a prize? I mean, just like a little something in addition to the bonus prize? I mean, this is really huge, having the deluxe edition of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and all, but was there anything else?
Oh, of course, I should have mentioned. You get to reach into the greater field and get your true self to help you find your higher purpose.
Ooh, that sounds great, but I have a question.
Sure, you can have all the questions you want.
Well, do we have to go outside to get on the field?
Well, no. The greater field is actually the quantum field. It's outside and inside. You're already here inside the field right now.
Huh. Well, you know, this is a lot. I'm going to have to write all this down when I get home so I don't forget.
Oh, honey, I'll text you later. Don't worry.
That would be so helpful, Tammy Sue.
Well, you know what? I think we're going to have to say goodbye now.
Oh, is Pastor Peter looking at the clock again?
Well, honey, if he's not yet, he's going to be after a few minutes. So let's say goodbye.
Bye.
Y'all come back now, you hear?
Our first reading is entitled A Poem for My Daughter by Teddy Macker. It seems we have made pain some kind of mistake, like having it is somehow wrong. Don't let them fool you. Pain is a part of things. But remember, dear Ellie, the compost down in the field, if the rank and dank and dark are handled well, not merely discarded, but turned and known and honored, they one day come to beds of rich earth, home even to the most delicate rose. God comes to you disguised as your life. Blessings often arrive as trouble. In French, the word blesser means to wound and relates to the old English bletsian, to sprinkle with blood. And in Sanskrit, there is a phrase to carry with you wherever you go, sarvam annam. Everything is food, every last thing. May this reading nourish our journey into wisdom and love. Amen.
Now's the time in our service when we had planned on inviting the Lama pilgrims to come in and array themselves around the front of the stage here. It's the opportunity each year for the past 19 years, the Sunday before we leave for Lama, to come in and share our personal aims for the trip, and then to share the group aim, which was created out of each of the personal aims the night before. Last night we would have been awake all night with a prayer vigil. And then we'd be waiting for you to bless us and Peter to bless us as we began our journey. And we are being blessed because we're going on a pilgrimage to Lama, because this is the place where the idea for the Church of Conscious Harmony was born. When Tim one night felt compelled to fall to his knees and send up a longing and a wish for a community of practice. And here we are. And you young people are the next segment on the evolving timeline that is the conversation between Lama and the Church of Conscious Harmony. And I'm here right now honoring this familiar and significant part that this day plays in the circle of the church year for the Church of Conscious Harmony. And even though we're not going to Lama this year, the wish that was created there is alive and growing deeper here and now. So we would be leaving this Thursday morning, the plan was. And at that time, we would have been given a prayer card with the group aim on the back. And then we would be sharing this, our personal aim and our group aim every day of the 7-day journey there and back. Harmony, youth, practicing, evolving devotion. Hyped is a connection with God and each other through centering prayer and conscious togetherness. Hyped is a green mango. Amen.
Our second reading is taken from the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues, as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound they gathered in a large crowd. But they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astonished, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his native language? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
We have been focusing on the Divine Feminine in the month of May, and we started looking at the Mother Wisdom, Sophia, or Chokhmah in Hebrew, and then we looked at Mother Earth, Gaia, and then we looked at Mother Mary, and then last week we, what is it? I get all lost. Is that last week or is it this week?
Last week with Bernadette.
Yeah. Oh, Bernadette. Forgot Bernadette. Yeah. Bernadette was last week. And now this week with Francis Franklin is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Pneuma, or Ruah, is the Hebrew. Ruah. All those feminine nouns, Pneuma and Ruah. So I'm eager to hear Francis's insights and sharing with us. I'd like to begin very briefly by acknowledging that there is a deep wisdom about this word pneuma or ruah. Ruah is the Hebrew word for spirit, and it's kind of an onomatopoeia. It sounds like it is. It's ruah. And pneuma is the Greek word. And both of them conveyed at their depth level the wonderful experience that all of us have of breathing. Pneuma and ruah is the essence of being alive that is symbolized by our breath. So you could literally say, I can't pneuma. I can't ruah. And today, these concepts aren't just theoretical. They're so potently charged. I can't breathe. I can't pneuma. I can't ruah. Why is that so profoundly significant? It's because life is connected to breath. It's the bottom line, that pneuma and ruah are the evidence of life. They are the manifestation of life. They are the touch point that indicates one is still alive. And it is the universal gift of every single living creature, at least mammals, to breathe air. And when that gift is taken away or prevented, life cannot flourish and life cannot occur. So these ancient concepts that come to us today and the notion of pneuma and ruah are very, very embodied. There's nothing too philosophical about these early words. This is about you and me and our ability to breathe. This is about the freedom of breath that comes to us and the expansion of life in our physical bodies. Now, the origins of breath and life are a mystery. You know, if we came from the seas, it would be a very miraculous moment for that sea creature to come out on land and say, I think I'll take a breath now. How that happened that first time must have been an extraordinary thing. I've never really heard it explained completely to me. I get it. There was a process from amphibians and whatnot, from a few moments out on land. But still, that moment when breath allowed a creature to live on the land and not be in the ocean must have been an incredible, miraculous moment. Biologically, and in our mythological language of the book of Genesis, we see that the breath is so sacred in the earth because it comes from above. It comes from a God. Yahweh, Almighty Creator God of the heavens and the earth, sets the stage by creating the heavens and the earth, creates the earth, and then sets the stage for this Adam, the man from the earth, clay from the earth, that first being, and then breathes into that first being, the breath of life. So you feel the gift of life happening right now. That's the gift of life happening right now. Well, where did that come from? Okay, and so the Jewish tradition, the Christian tradition, so many of these beautiful spiritual traditions of our planet all acknowledge that breath, that first breath, came from above. And that makes all the difference. That makes all of our breaths sacred. All human breaths sacred. All animal breaths sacred. Every single breath we take in our lifetime is a miracle from above. When we lose sight of that truth, human beings devolve. And we do not become breath beings, we become mechanical beings. We become machines. Machines don't need to breathe. Machines have no pneuma in them. Machines are unconscious and doing what they do. And so you can't, in a sense, be angry at a machine for not having pneuma in it or forgetting its pneuma. It's just being a mechanical machine. And it has the opportunity to awaken and take its first breath again and come back to life, the fullness of life. And so we wish for this, for all of the dimensions of each of our lives and all the dimensions of every human being out there who's become a machine and forgotten their pneuma. May they become activated again with this breath and come back to the fullness of life and begin their journey as a spiritual being, not just a physical being. And the consequences are extraordinary on this planet. I have a reading that we'll conclude with from Christopher Bach, Dark Night and Early Dawn, that will invite us to a positive understanding of where spirit is leading us. But one of the things, just briefly before Francis shares, that we can remember about the day of Pentecost that we celebrate, it's not just a churchy thing. It's not just a liturgical thing. It's very important liturgically. But it's the fulfillment of Easter. It's the release of the Easter promise of life coming back to the dead body. And that promise of Easter isn't just for Jesus. It's for all human beings, symbolized by the breath of God falling on a large group of people and activating in them spiritual wisdom, consciousness, and understanding. And the phrase goes something like this. In the Tower of Babel, the oneness of humankind was lost to the multiplicity of misunderstanding. But in the event of Pentecost, the oneness of wisdom and union returned in the great diversity of expression. Oneness with diversity. That's the gift of Pentecost. Everyone is hearing the same message in a different language. Oneness with diversity. Unity with distinction is the technical philosophical phrase. Unity with distinction. The one and the many grounded in the Trinity. So friends, Pentecost is really the declaration and the balm for our great union that we strive for amidst the great diversity that we celebrate. To have unity in diversity. That's what Pentecost is. And it dangles out there like a living flame calling to each of us to embody this more and more, to embody more spirit, so that oneness can occur in our lives, conquering the multiplicity and bringing a celebration of the diversity. And I could keep preaching, believe me, because I've got third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh gear right now to talk about what's going on in our culture. But I will restrain myself because I have a witness of the feminine divine sitting next to me, and I don't want to miss a moment of the wisdom you have to share, Francis. So thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yep.
Well, I wasn't going to start with what I'm about to say, but the account in the book of Acts, I reflected on that a few days ago, and it just struck me that it's a third-person account. Like, this happened. It's what someone maybe saw happen, but it wasn't very personal. And something else that I noticed, I believe it's maybe starts before where Marianne read, but in the interest of celebrating the divine feminine, it does state that all the women in Mary were there. Mm-hmm. And so I could feel myself included in the story that way. So while Acts may be a third-person account, I'd like to share my own first-person account, my first encounter with Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to read this. This is a brief outline, but it will kind of help me stay on track with time a little bit. When I was 14 years old, I responded to an altar call at a Pentecostal church. And I went to the altar and I knelt there, and a very nice lady came and knelt across from me and led me in what is traditionally known as the sinner's prayer. It goes something like, I'm a sinner, Jesus, I accept you into my heart, and I'll follow you all the days of my life, or something along those lines. But I prayed it, and I meant it with every fiber of my being. She then asked me, this nice lady, she said, would you like to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? And at the age of 14, that sounded kind of spooky, a little bit scary. And so I might have hesitated, but intuitively I also knew that there was only one correct answer. So I said, yes. And so she gave me some instructions for prayer. And looking back on it, I feel like maybe she was holding center for me in some way as I clumsily took these instructions for prayer. And I probably prayed for maybe 45 seconds to a minute, and then I found myself pausing. And part of that was probably for me to check in with myself. Like, was this something that I really deeply wanted? Was I sure about this? At the same time, I noticed that my mother had come and knelt beside me. And so the lady that was with me, she moved over to minister to my mother. So I had time to check in, and this energy came up that surprised me, but it just said, I want this. And I began praying, and I didn't really have a preconceived notion of what might transpire. But as I was praying, I felt this, it was a warm wind, and it lifted me from where I was. And I have to clarify when I say that, because I was fully aware that my physical body was on my knees at this altar. But my awareness, my consciousness, maybe an inner body, was lifted up and surrounded by this, I call it a warm wind, but in the interest of Ruah, perhaps it was breath. And I became aware that my language changed from English to another language. And I look back on that, and I can't even say that I was aware that I had somehow surrendered. It was as though I was simply surrender and allowing this energy to move through me and express itself that way. That same breath or wind, after a moment, lowered me very gently back into my body. And I got quiet. And when I opened my eyes, I noticed that there were more women around me. And they had been praying with me and holding center for me. And the way that they looked at me, it was almost as if they had just seen a baby be born. And so I will always remember being held by those women in that way. The other thing that I remember about that moment is that warm breath it was no longer outside of me. It was in my body. And I'm gesturing here because I could feel this warmth. And it was like there was a fire, but I wasn't burning. And the best way the best image I have of that is I think about the burning bush in the Old Testament, where it's on fire, but it's not burning. But my sense at 14 years old was like, the spirit is in me and it's joyful, and it was like it was dancing. And I felt like I needed to take such good care of this precious thing that just happened. And I'll look back and say that probably that precious thing has really done the taking care of me all my life. The other thing that I remember from that moment, or I will say now, is that I would later come to realize that I had been imprinted by Ruah, the Holy Spirit, in a way that I could never unknow. That moment led to the next 6 years of my life being a voracious, insatiable quest for God. I read the Gospel of John 3 times. Then I read the rest of the Gospels. Then I read the New Testament and the rest of the Bible. I had highlights and underlines and favorite scriptures. I gave myself to fasting and prayer and being in church as much as I possibly could. I have spiral notebooks full of every note that I took. I didn't want to miss a minute of God. And then 6 years later, a personal crisis of seemingly cataclysmic proportions occurred in my life. It was a very violent event. And while the physical body may have recovered, I noticed that all of a sudden my life was quiet. That really it seemed that God had disappeared. That reading the Bible seemed meaningless and useless. prayers, nothing happened. I felt isolated, even in my own church community. And I really also, there was a sense of I lost my way of how to be in a relationship with God. And one of the phrases I wrote down was that I felt like a dead woman walking, because I would wake up every day and be like, I'm still here. What's the point? So I felt like I didn't have the self that knew how to live in life anymore. And I had to make one since I kept waking up every day. Yet, through all that time, I could not unknow that imprint. It wasn't alive. It didn't seem like it wasn't giving me any hints or clues or any cookies to let me know that you're on the right path. And I think in some ways that made that period, it was about 12 to 13 years, even more painful, because I could not unknow that imprint, but it was silent all that time. And that made it much more painful. How could you be next to me and see me suffering and not do anything about it? So one of the things that I remembered was that prayer was relationship and prayer was communication. And at some point I began to see that the prayer that I knew how to do was the prayer where I did all the talking. And I thought, well, if this is really a relationship, if it's really communication, then shouldn't I listen sometimes? I was ready to listen. That was the only prayer I probably could pray, is, Lord, teach me how to listen. And maybe a few years after that prayer, I found my way here to the Church of Conscious Harmony. And I found centering prayer. I found the work of Inner Christianity. I found the teachings of Bernadette Roberts. I found Madame de Salzman. And so many beautiful, wonderful women who helped nurture me and continue to help nurture me in my growth here in this church. When I think about that charismatic or Pentecostal experience, and I was becoming a contemplative, I was like, do I throw the baby out with the bathwater? But you can't really throw away something that's imprinted in you. But I have come to maybe a new way of looking at all of that. So John of the Cross talks about this rear staircase. And when I look back at that moment of baptism in the Holy Spirit, I feel like I knocked on the door of a party and they said, come in. It was the front door. And they're like, there's buffets over here, drinks are over there, whatever you want, just, you know, no worries, you know. And so I ate and ate and ate and ate. And then I said, what else you got to eat? And so they brought out more, and that was me, like, Bible reading, fasting, praying, going to church. And then I said, what else you got to eat? And they said, well, there might be something left in the refrigerator. You know, this is just my metaphor, you know. And so I make my way back towards the refrigerator, and then I get lost in the house, and somehow I'm in the rear staircase. Like, what happened? Where did God go? And Stephen, he says to me, he says, maybe you didn't even know you were in the house anymore. I'm like, I totally didn't know if I was in the house anymore. But that gave me a way, one of many lenses we have here at the Church of Conscious Harmony to see that experience. And at 14, I probably needed that more than I needed to be in the rear staircase in the first place. When I think about this in light of the divine feminine, one of the things I wrote here is that spirit continues to lead me through many women embodying the divine feminine. I've been loved by women at my own personal Pentecost. It was a woman who suggested to me that I might like the Church of Conscious Harmony. And the first time I found out about centering prayer, and I think Tim maybe said, and June Jeffers is the person you should see about that. I probably tackled that poor lady. But I just remember that she took my hand and she was just like, honey, if it's time for you to begin centering prayer, then you got to start. And so she just welcomed me into that experience. And I remember her as being one of my first centering prayer teachers, but so many other mothers the Spirit has led me to and led to me here in this community continue to minister to me and love me. I have more that I could say, but I want to be respectful of our time. But thank you for letting me share today. Amen.
Amen. Oh my goodness, thank you, Francis. So, one of the, I appreciate you sharing about your Pentecostal experience, because I think a lot of people, probably their first experiences with Christianity have been in more evangelical or Pentecostal communities, and they find their journeys bring them here. How would you describe your experience of what Father Keating calls the presence and action of the Spirit in your centering prayer, in your silent meditation? What is that like for you, that, to feel or experience, or maybe not experience or not feel, the presence and action of the Holy Spirit in the silence?
I feel like it's probably much like Father Keating describes. It's not necessarily a tangible, felt experience. It's the Holy Spirit is working at levels deeper than my consciousness has access to. But I would say in the action in life, I do feel like my experience is that I can be moved by the Spirit, perhaps even in ways, I know that in ways that I would not have been, you know, 12, 15 years ago. I hear Spirit speak to me. An example, I was laying in my hammock watching fireflies a couple of nights ago and thinking, this is such a wonderful experience, but we live close to a hospital and we live near the side of the hospital where the hospital pad, the helicopter pad is. And a helicopter went by and they come pretty low and it was loud, and I had this thought like, oh, I wish we didn't live close to all these helicopters. And then Ruah breathes in my ear and says, that's not a helicopter. Those are my beloved children. I don't know that I would have had the sensitivity to hear that before.
Yeah, that's good listening. And so this, would you say your practice in the silence has cultivated that capacity to listen, or was it just always there and now you hear it in a different way?
I would say that I remember that six-year period of voracious seeking, and it was doing seeking, if that makes any sense. Like, what, Lord, what do you want me to do to get more of you? Well, apparently God just wanted me to sit down and be quiet. So I feel like I forgot your question, but I feel like that sensitivity is cultivated in centering prayer, because my prayer was, I need to know how to listen. Mm. And I would say that maybe in the evangelical environment, I think everyone wants to hear, but we don't know how to hear. And so it's why I'm so thankful for Father Keating and for centering prayer, because the level at which I need to hear is not a level that's accessible to my daily, you know, so-called waking state consciousness. And so definitely I have a deep gratitude for centering prayer for helping to cultivate that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as you're sharing that, I'm reminded of that passage in the Old Testament, I think it was Elijah, where God passes by in the whirlwind, and God's not in the whirlwind, and then the silence comes, and God's in the silence. Mm-hmm. What is your experience and the sensitivity to kind of the traumas of life, the woundedness of life, and your experience of the Holy Spirit bringing healing inwardly?
Well, I can speak from my own experience and trauma, and I would say first that the disposition of receptivity needs to be cultivated. And as I said, that our, the image of Our Lady of the Sign comes up, this receptivity in all three centers, the moving center, the emotional center, intellectual center. And even if you don't have the tools of the work, if you're practicing centering prayer, you're still practicing that receptivity in all three centers. And it takes, I think, there needs to be faith and trust that the Holy Spirit working in us at that time of, during our centering prayer practice will not bring up more than we can bear. So things will come up for healing. And for myself, I always see a new dimension of something, maybe that was a trauma that comes up, and I see a new blessing in it. I would not necessarily choose to relive some of those experiences, but the way that the Holy Spirit brings them up is always absolutely perfect. Mm-hmm. I was at my parents' home Friday night, and they watched the news a lot, and so I got to see a lot. But what I realized was that there are a lot of people acting, a lot of people hurting, a lot of people angry, and I was like, they don't necessarily have the tools to be with that pain and the anger, and we have a responsibility to bear what the Spirit brings up for us on behalf of the world.
Right. And so the image of fire that we've all seen has a very destructive aspect to it. And we can see in the anger is symbolized by that fire. And yet fire has this purgative effect as well. It's also an illuminative effect as well. So something about these fires are calling to us to wake up. And they have a burning quality to them. They have a purging quality to them. I think the fires are sacraments, actually, calling us to wake up as a species. And they're the silent language of those who don't have their voice. They're the silent language of some very visceral, powerful, destructive language of those who are absolutely fed up, and we should join them in that fed upness. There's violence that's unconscious occurring, that's mechanical, that is occurring, that is tragic, sad. But if we can transform these fires into illuminating fires, I think there's a gift in the fires. And that symbol of the fire anointing the head is the illumination, the anointing. The word spirit, you know, is one of these. It's a bottomless ocean. It just has an abyss of meaning. You know, you can throw whatever you want into that word, and it will receive it. It's a cover-all word. It means so much. And the early Greeks, especially the Stoics, they believed that there was a correspondence of the macrocosmos to the microcosmos, and that the spirit, the pneuma, was what interwove the whole macrocosmos to the microcosmos. And we can see that they didn't understand what was happening at the quantum level. They didn't understand even cellular biology. They didn't understand electricity, but they used the word spirit to talk about this thing that connects everything, that brings life to everything. And for me, this is a beautiful invitation of what the Spirit does, is it unites the big and the small. It unites the divided. It's the union of life and light and love. And it's important, I think, for all of us to look at our lives and to say, how am I contributing to the lies of separation? Where am I blind? Where am I ignoring? Where am I denying the lies of separation? Because where I'm denying the lie of separation, I'm also denying the spirit, which is to bridge, unite, and cohere the macrocosmos to the microcosmos, the oneness with the manyness. So I think there's a lot to feel, and there's a lot to burn here, and the fires burn away hundreds of years of prejudice, hundreds of years of hatred and animosity, hundreds of years of struggle, hundreds of years of denying, of ignoring, of turning a blind eye, of profiting, hundreds of years of this in our country. And so it is here bearing its bitter fruits for us to wake up. And I have no right to really talk about this, but these things are profound.
I was thinking about fire as well. And in one of my classes I took last semester, one of my classmates gave a talk on prescribed burns. She worked for a state park. And she talked about all of the intention that goes into planning a prescribed burn. Mm. And that burn is designed to really preserve long-term, kind of like what you're talking about. And I just reflected on that, and I thought, wow, maybe what our planet is experiencing right now is a prescribed burn.
Mm-hmm.
There was a quote in... It's on page 41 of Meditations on the Tarot, in this the second arcanum of the High Priestess, and I just can't stop thinking about this, but it says, concentration without effort is burning without smoke or crackling fire. And so I was thinking about this burning, that this burning is exposing some things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we are tuned in to similar ideas here, because that we hadn't planned on talking about this, but that's really rich, and it's we want to extinguish the fires because we're afraid, because we have anxiety, and I say the fires are here to wake us up and to birth us really into a whole nother being. This book is a profound book in many, many ways, and I can't say that I resonate with everything in it, but there are segments of this book that are so profoundly wise. And it was written in 1995. And I'll just try and wrap up the conversation with this, and we can circle back if you have anything to comment on as we finish this. This is at the conclusion of his chapter, The Great Awakening. And he's talking about the possibility that is coming through the crisis that he envisioned, that he could see, so many could see, 1995, looking out 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, they were, you know, basically saying things can't keep going the way they are going. Well, here we are 25 years later, and there's a lot unfolding on our planet. And this is what he writes, page 256. If the crisis of sustainability does bring about the ego death of our species, what will have died, I think, is primarily our sense of being disconnected from each other and from everything around us. As the psychological debris of our difficult past is cleared away, we will begin to experience more clearly the web that weaves all life into a single fabric. This is the rise of the feminine in perhaps her most fundamental form, the cosmic goddess Rua approaching her groom, fully differentiated consciousness in eager anticipation. Purification is followed by awakening, and this great awakening marks a new beginning for humanity. The adventure is now inherently collective. The age of the solo hero is yielding to the age of the heroic community. As the inherent wholeness of existence becomes a living experience for more and more persons, individuals will find themselves empowered by new orders of creativity. Think Zoom, Skype, Internet, new orders of creativity that could not have been anticipated as long as we were trapped within the narrow confines of an atomistic, self-referential mode of consciousness. As the encompassing fields of mind become stronger, synergy and synchronicity will increase. The sacred mind will spring alive inside the human family in ways that seem impossible from our current fragmented condition. And this is so positive, so optimistic, such a wish. Let's hold this as a wish for what's occurring in our country and on this planet. The sacred mind, capital S, capital M, Ruah, spirit mind, will spring alive inside the human family in ways that seem impossible from our current fragmented condition. However difficult the journey, who could not feel uplifted by the privilege of being part of such an undertaking and awakening? The pain of this labor should not be feared, but used creatively. We are building a new world for our grandchildren, indeed a new species called Homo spiritualis. That new species is as revolutionary as the amphibians that took their first breath out on the land. We are taking our first breaths as this interconnected global community coming through a pandemic, and we cannot be the same. And those fires are a symbol that the old ways are unworkable. So we pray for God's grace and spirit in each of our lives. The Holy Spirit corresponds to this spirit in each of us. Like, capital L, calls to like, little l, and transforms us into love itself. So any final comments or insights, wisdom you want to share with us?
I don't have any.
Okay. Well, thank you for wearing red, the symbol of Pentecost. It's such a beautiful gift to spend some time with you, Francis. My heart bows in honor to the Divine Feminine, you and your spiritual journey and your God hunger that continues as a witness to us all. And to Stephen, your beloved husband, thank you for being here, wearing red as well, by the way. And to all the women in this room, my heart bows to you and to the Divine Feminine, each of you. It's been a wonderful journey this month that hopefully has been something of an enzyme that will quicken our community and pay beautiful, I want to say bear beautiful fruit. The rose of Christ will bloom in our hearts all the more. You've heard what we've had to say. Let's take a moment. There's so much occurring, so much to feel, so much burning in our hearts. And just ask Spirit to minister to our spirit. We pray for the great Comforter Spirit to counsel and comfort each of us in our own personal lives, that we would know how to be awakened beings, light bearers in this world of confusion and fear and anger, that we would be gardens of your blooming light and love, and that we would experience the peace that passes understanding because it's grounded in the silence of wordlessness. We pray for the mind of Christ and the mind of the Spirit. We pray for the union to heal all the divisions. We pray for our country and our world and our leaders, for the awakening that is birthing and wanting to be born, to come to be. And we pray that this church would hold center while fear and fires burn, and that this church and our community would be a center stronger than ever. Even though we are not together, we bear witness to the work and to the wisdom and to the word of God in our lives, holding us and growing us. And we send love to all who are grieving, who are wounded, who are afraid, who are frustrated. We send love to them and say, we love you, and you belong, and your presence matters. Amen. Over all the world and all its needs, and gratitude to everyone for your devotion to this church. We give to the church that feeds us spiritually, and we dedicate our lives to the victory of consciously chosen love. Let's remember the truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. Amen.
You who knew me before you formed me,
Protect me while your breath is in me. Can I stand firm if you thrust me aside? Or advance if you block my way? What can I say when my thoughts are in your hands? What can I do unless you help me? Help me. I turn to you in times of grace. Answer me, and your grace will shield me. Wake me to search out your sanctuary. Wake me to bless your name. What can I say when my thoughts are in your hands? What can I do unless you help me? Help me. You who knew me before you formed me, protect me while your breath is in me. Wake me to search out your sanctuary. You who knew
Let us join together for 10 minutes of centering prayer. In the silence of consent to God's love, presence, and action in our lives.
Wish to partake in the communion on campus? I invite you to make an appointment to receive communion in the courtyard with me. You can call the church office or email me, and these will be one-on-one or one-on-family Eucharistic experiences outside in the courtyard area in front of the church office. And these will be beginning this week, Wednesday. Feel free to call the church office during normal business hours. Let's conclude our worship with song. For joining us in this loud service of the Church of Conscious Harmony. See you next time we're on the cloud, Wednesday evening. Also scriptorium at 11. And Saturday evening, compline at 9 p.m. on Zoom starting next Saturday. Look for more details for that this week in our email, updating you on all the things that are unfolding. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace and presence of the Holy Spirit is with each of us and with every single human being and creature on this planet, now and always. Amen.